Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We are going to have Jimmy Vaccaro today from Las Vegas. I think it's time to get some NBA odds going. Like, what are the chances, what are the odds, Jimmy, of Robert Sarver firing a coach in the next 5 years? Jimmy, what are the odds of the Suns getting a general manager? What are the odds of a president being let go? I mean, all those things around this. We'll do some fun with Jimmy. We'll do some NBA. We'll do some Cardinals, the college football stuff, as always, with Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas. That comes up in about 15 minutes from the South Point Resort and Casino. Goody at the movies today. I'm not sure if Bill's seen anything. I've seen a couple things this week because I know Bill's been in the political process. He's getting pulled a lot of places. Eric, are we fine talking just politics with Bill, or do I have to go down a...
No, we don't want to turn the show into a political
show. No political, no roundtable, hardball, whatever we want to call
it. No, because when I'm watching football this weekend, I see enough of those stupid commercials. And I guess they're not stupid. They're just really over the top, and the slandering and the finger-pointing is somewhat amusing, but just annoying.
Watching local television in the last couple weeks, which I don't do very much anyways, but when I do, like, I'm trying to watch some of the Lakers game last night, even though it was preseason. It was just, Pash sounded like he was a kid in a candy store. And it was a preseason game. And he and Mark Jackson were going on and on about Jimmy Butler, and it was great. But I had to sit through, every break was nothing but back-to-back politicals.
Yeah, 'tis the season for that, so.
Yeah.
We've got about another month. It's not going anywhere anytime soon.
I put on Facebook this morning that we're about a month away from one of the most dreadful times of the year, and that is my wife sitting there with Hallmark movies, holiday movies coming on. Just have you ever seen a Hallmark holiday movie?
No.
My gosh, it's this just dreadful, awful, like, what am I doing sitting here watching this man card reduction time?
Early in November?
Oh, yeah.
She can't wait till Thanksgiving weekend?
It's shot in, like, Vermont. Actually, they're all shot in a studio in Canada. But the premise is this. Guy comes home. Guy has some adversity. Meets the girl from high school. She has some adversity. They have some adversity. They fall in love, and they kiss under mistletoe, and it's the end. And 2 hours of your life is gone. They've made 30 of these this year. 30 of them. She actually put it back on my Facebook this morning saying, yeah, it's coming. So if I seem cranky here in the next few months, it's because I have to sit through that stuff.
How many TVs do you have in your house?
Let me think. There's one in my man cave. There's one in our bedroom.
So problem solved.
There's one in the... It's just hearing it.
Hey, honey, I'm going to go in the other room to get something to drink. I'll see you in 90 minutes.
90, right. I got...
I'm going out to walk the dog. We don't have a dog. That's the idea.
That's the idea. I got Vern Lundquist's new book last night.
Nice.
And he's
like
going to be with
Lundquist.
Us. He's going to be with us next week on the show. And I sat in there, and she was watching. She's watching doctor shows. So, like, doctor shows in prime time are on every freaking night. So I come home, and every night, and if it's not at night, it's 2 p.m. She's found some channel that it's like the oxygen network, which is another way of saying I'm going to suffocate because I don't want any oxygen on in my house. And they put on these doctor shows over and over and over, and I just flat don't care. So I have this stuff going on in my house, and thank God Vern Lundquist's book showed up, and I could watch preseason NBA basketball last night, because otherwise I don't know if I would have made it today. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And if you have not thought about life insurance, if you have not thought about college planning for your kids, 529 plan, if you've not thought about life insurance for yourself, whole life, you haven't thought about annuities, you can do all that and do it online at sagicornow.com. Sagicornow.com. We thank Sagicor and their support. Log on, get your free quote. Take care of your business, guys. You cannot put this stuff off. All right, Jimmy Vaccaro here in a few minutes. So I did watch preseason basketball last night. Leading with that versus talking about some Josh Rosen things that are far more interesting to me. I'll get to Josh Rosen in a bit because he did have some interesting things yesterday to say. I'm watching LeBron and I'm watching the Lakers, and ESPN the last couple nights has run this terrific series on the history of the NBA. It's pretty interesting. There used to be a time where nobody would program anything against the big, bad NFL. Well, it doesn't matter to me that in the month of September, the top highest rated things that were on TV were the big, bad NFL. I don't care. There's other stuff that is going on. And the NBA has taken the tact of, it's fine, we're global, you're not. And they are. They've been doing this history of the league that has been so smart. Last night, I got caught up in that too. They were going through racial inequality in the 60s and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar quotes and having him on camera when he was at UCLA and Dr. Martin Luther King. And it was just so good. It was so, in the history of the league and race and how it's performed and the history of the league. And so I got caught up in that. And I flipped over and watched LeBron. Look, when the Lakers are here, they're here 2 weeks. They're here in 13 days. Not that I'm counting. They're here in 13 days, a week from next Wednesday. It's going to be a Laker home game like it hasn't been a Laker home game probably in Phoenix in a long, long time. Like when the Dodgers come rolling in, the Diamondback fans, the Diamondbacks as an organization have done a nice job of doing this whole beat LA and hate on LA stuff. So it's not like 80-20. But last night they're showing the front row in Vegas. And in that front row, it's Magic, it's Shaq. And it's a lot of dudes all wearing Laker jerseys of different colors and different names. It's going to be a... Eric, are you going to go? We got to look ahead to that.
I don't know. I mean, I'll definitely watch if I don't go.
That's one of those...
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Like, I'm watching LeBron throw a lob to Lonzo last night.
In Vegas?
In Vegas, of all places.
With Pash calling the game, which is never a bad thing.
Right. And I'm thinking...
As
well,
you mentioned. And he's been at, like, a world tour. I mean, he's done, like... NFL game, two NBA games.
College game?
A college football game.
Where was Dave last week? Was in Starkville on Saturday.
Yep.
San Francisco on Sunday.
Yep.
Vegas on Tuesday.
I think he said he had two NBA games this week.
Did he?
I think so.
He sounded like a kid in a candy store for a preseason game. LeBron made a half-court shot as he's walking off the floor right at halftime. Half court. Afterwards, some dude, reporter, they've been running the clip all morning on ESPN, is trying to talk about the comparison of the NBA Finals shots and a preseason shot. And it's like, dude, your arms are not that long. But watching the Lakers, they're not great. I don't think they're great. It's kind of like Cleveland last year. It's not like LeBron had a great team around him. He had Kevin Love. Doing his thing, and the rest of it was really a bunch of guys. And so I'm watching him last night thinking, boy, when they're playing Golden State, and Golden State's kind of going through the motions, it's still going to be really interesting. DeAndre Ayton being caught up in this shoe story that his family was paid money. A former shoe consultant being paid money. This is during the FBI's college basketball in-depth conversation. So that a guy worked with Adidas, TJ worked with Adidas to make payments to the family of DeAndre Ayton. I am totally not surprised by this. I think what is surprising to me in the stories so far that I have seen is that the amount of money that was transacted was like $2,500 here and $1,500 there and $1,200 there. I was envisioning when this all started that I would be hearing about DeAndre Ayton and 75 grand here and 100 grand there and 50 grand there. I'm not surprised by if the family, in fact, was given money, as this person on the stand with Adidas is saying he was given money. I'm not surprised by that. I'm not surprised now when I hear that in the summer club basketball circuit, summer club basketball, that there are players that are jumping from team to team for 10 grand here and 5 grand there and 15 grand there. To think that it hasn't been happening in a long time, I would be naive on that. But these summer league teams want to make sure that they have the best players on them and they're willing to pay mom and dad. I think what was funny in the testimony yesterday was the money was transacted through a magazine. Hey, Eric, Here is this week's Sports Illustrated. You might want to turn to page 32. Oh, really, Brad? Why? Oh, it's because you are a rock star, and there's a great story in there on you. Oh, okay, thanks. Yeah, you don't want to go check it till you're in the car. Go in the car, go to page 32, and there's a check, right? So this is how they're transacting. This is not the most sophisticated process. Yeah, we handed them a magazine. There was a check inside the magazine. The corruption of... of high school basketball and youth basketball has been going on a long time. I've mentioned this before, that when I've taken my son, actually my oldest son even, out to go play in these leagues, you need a shower. When there's times where club basketball teams want you to come out and see this player and that player, and they're like, hey, man, you need to bring a camera out and do a story on this guy or that guy. It's all about marketing their facility. And that's fine. That's fine. I don't have a problem in marketing the player or their program. I don't have a problem with that. To think that there aren't things that are going on that are a little seedy and a little off-center at most every club basketball program, you are kidding yourself and you're fooling yourselves. You just are. Remember one guy who was Father Flanagan back in the day, and he asked me to come out to his car with him after a game, and he opened up his car, and it was loaded to the gills with shoe boxes. And he said, what size do you need? I don't need that. And I wasn't going to go on the air. I'm not going to go run around to the FBI or whatever. But this guy was pretty well known in the high school basketball scene, and he was just basically an apparel guy. You got to get the shoes on these kids early. So the Ayton story is only going to, I think, increase. This puts U of A in a different light because it was the shoe company. It wasn't the U of A, or was it? You know, that's where we're going to go on this story. Jimmy Vaccaro's next from Vegas. And then we'll get into Josh Rosen, Goody at the Movies, and much, much more. A big college football weekend ahead. We'll talk with Jimmy next here on Sports360AZ.com. So last night I'm watching the Lakers game against Golden State in Vegas, and I told Eric earlier, I said, we need to get Jimmy on. We haven't had Jimmy on here in a couple weeks. South Point Casino Resort Sports Marketing Director. It's a busy time of year for Jimmy, and we don't want to bother him too much, but we're going to bother him today because there's a ton going on. I hope you're well, my friend. I'm curious about the NBA and with the season starting. What is the view in Vegas this year? Is the money on Golden State? Is this a time of year where you take a flyer on somebody? What's going on around the NBA, Jimmy?
Well, my friend, nice to speak to you. It's been a while, and everything is crazy as this legalized sports gambling is taking hold and just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's amazing the amount of money we've written on NBA exhibition season. I just shake my head when I see these things. Naturally, with the Golden Knights, what they did last year boosted it. The NBA, as anticipated, money on the Lakers to win everything. Money on the Lakers, I think, as we have it, 47.5 win total for the year. And, yes, there's been substantial money on the Warriors to win it all, and also over 64 wins. So never a dull moment, my friend, in Las Vegas.
Having LeBron go from Cleveland to L.A. had to help Vegas, didn't it?
Well, it helped us. I'm sorry, buddy, but it helped us in quite a few ways. First of all, it picked up a team that was headed down the drain and obviously put new life into them, which builds life for everything else. And as we've always said, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, when the Lakers used to play when they were good, it was like a mini Monday night. I'm sure it'll be the same reaction here. So I welcome it only because it draws a lot of attention. And let's call it like it is. Last year, their win total, I think, was 32. We have it 48. So we're telling you 16 games difference when LeBron was a Laker and when he was not a Laker. That's substantial.
Wow. Jimmy Vaccaro with the South Point Casino Resort Sports. That's the place to go. The South Point Casino Resort. If you're in Vegas, just drop on in and see Jimmy there. Baseball is down to the Final Four. What's going on with baseball? Is there a lot of buzz or is it really not, Jimmy? What's going on with baseball?
Big time buzz right now. Right now, the Dodgers are $1.50 favorite over the Brewers to win that series, and we have the Astros $1.50 over the Boston Red Sox to win the whole thing. The Dodgers are 3-1. The Astros are 2-1. The Boston Red Sox are 2.5-1, and Milwaukee is 3-1. And naturally, we're waiting to see what unravels. We just have play after play after play. We're also waiting to see what the guy from Houston does, the guy that obviously put up a lot of money last year, Mattress Matt, to see what happens with his Astro team. So I can tell you this, so far, probably about 15% more than we did this time last year with baseball. And it does add a lot of bluster, especially once again during the week.
Okay, let's go into the college football weekend. Tomorrow night, a Friday night game in the Pac-12. Arizona, Kevin Sumlin, are they figuring things out? They play at Utah. View in Vegas, U of A at Utah.
They haven't figured it out as far as the power ratings are concerned, my friend. They're a 14-point underdog against Utah. Utah's a damn good team, as we're starting to find out. One of those no-name teams that the people will start to recognize. Arizona, what can I tell you? It's right where it should be. They should be a two-touchdown underdog. A little money on the dog, but not that much right now, my friend.
One of the bigger games of the weekend, Oregon hosting Washington in the Pac-12 North.
Well, you can say all you want about it, but the Pac-12 just, and overall, the teams are getting better, the action is getting better. So I can only say I'm just going to cover the whole conference there with you, my friend. It's a welcome sight when you get three or four teams about equal as far as power ratings are concerned, and this game will definitely draw a lot of attention. Right now, Washington is a 3-point favorite. I suspect you'll see Oregon money when we get to game time.
Let's go over to the NFL. The Cardinals, not very good, young quarterback. They win last week. They go to Minnesota. Minnesota, for those Cardinal fans, are going to drive to Vegas, stay at the South Point. Cardinals, Vikings.
Well, here's the only thing I can tell you, the biggest point there of the week, and it goes to your Arizona Cardinals. They're a 10.5-point underdog against the Vikings here, and really nothing has moved so far. There's a couple of games at 9, but you guys won the prizes, biggest point spread underdog so far for this week.
We got something going for us then, right? And one last game, and that's the Chiefs and Patriots. Really intriguing game. The Chiefs' defense is not very good. Patrick Mahomes has come in and has got people's attention. Talk about Tom Brady and the Patriots against the Chiefs.
How about let's just talk about this. Total on the game, 58.5.
Wow.
And we have taken nothing but over money. We're up to 59. We know that there's wide open, but 59 in a football game is incredible with an NFL game. Right now, Patriots, 3.5-point favorite. This game, perfect slot for us, the late game on Sunday night. But can you say that and right? Just shake your head. 59 is the total on this game.
Good stuff there, Jimmy. Thanks for the time. As always, enjoy the weekend.
All right, buddy.
That's Jimmy Vaccaro there, South Point Casino Resort. Stop on in there and say hi to Jimmy. Pete Thamel's one of the best college football writers that is out there. And when Pete Thamel writes something, which I'm about to share with you, you have to sit up and pay attention to it. So Pete Thamel got his hands on the replay booth official internal report from the USC-Washington State game. If you remember this game, it was very controversial from last week. JT Daniels, the USC quarterback, late in the third quarter, taken a knee and was a defensive player and got run over by a Washington State helmet-to-helmet hit. He was ruled, he was ruled down. The officials went to the replay. The officials looked through the replay. The officials contact the replay people at the Pac-12 Network headquarters. And according to Pete Thamel, I'll just read it to you. This is per Yahoo, per Pete Thamel. The replay report obtained by Yahoo Sports states that unfortunately, a third party did not agree with the call. That third party was Pac-12 General Counsel and Senior Vice President of Business, Woody Dixon. Yahoo sources have confirmed. Dixon telephoned in his opinion that the play wasn't targeting, sources said. According to the report, his opinion overruled both the trained officials in the stadium replay booth and in the league's command center. Dixon is the supervisor of Pac-12 football, but he is no way, no shape, no form, no how, an actual official. He has no business involved in officiating decisions. Zero. So Larry Scott is on the defensive this morning. If the credibility of the Pac-12 and its officials, which has been horrible through the years, is not under siege now, and if Larry Scott is not under siege now, I don't know when he's going to be under siege. You can't have some dude who's hanging out on his couch calling in like it's golf on a Sunday and somebody move their lie. You can't have a guy that called in who has nothing to do with officiating and say, no, that's not targeting. He needs to stay in the game. Hey, come on. So now that Pete has put this out there, Larry Scott is just getting bombarded this morning and calls of resignation from people in the media like John Wilner, who's very respected, Tim Kawakami up in the Bay Area. Guys are coming after him with both barrels saying, enough of what's gone on with the Pac-12. I have sat here in Phoenix, Arizona, and watched the Pac-12 Network. We used to have Larry Scott on this show. I've told Eric there's no reason to have Larry Scott on this show anymore. He can't get the Pac-12 Network fixed, and everything else is great. And it's not. It's just not. You can market Pac-12 After Dark all you want, but the facts are that outside of Washington, and even Washington, because Auburn is not good or as good, even Washington and their record this season, when people said, and including myself, hey, BYU's pretty good. They beat U of A. They beat Wisconsin. They lost last week to Utah State. So they're not very good. So when Washington beats them 35-7, it's not a major victory. The conference, to have this happen, this is not just a one-off. I can go back to Sean Miller losing his mind at the Pac-12 basketball tournament a few years back about the officiating. Bobby Hurley has probably had an aneurysm or two at the last minute avoided because of what's gone on with officiating. I sit there and watch games and say, this is low-grade dog food because the officials can't get out of their way. There's some very nice people that are officials. Close friend who's an official. I get it. But the amount of credibility at stake with officiating doesn't seem to matter. When the Pac-12, this is a longer rant, but when the Pac-12 decides to put Arizona State and U of A, this big bad rivalry, the Territorial Cup and how great it is, and they put it on opposite of Auburn, Alabama on the day after Thanksgiving on the Pac-12 network, not going to ESPN2 or Fox, anybody. It just screams of, we don't flipping care. Michael Crow is a nice guy. Michael Crow is one that oversees the president of Arizona State. He has substantial say in what goes on the Pac-12 network. It's not all 12 presidents of universities. It's the president of Oregon State and the president of ASU. And so we see this network that just sits over there that does really nothing. They put a couple games on. I watched their studio show the day of the ASU-Washington game. They're out on the plaza with like five fans jumping around behind them. It looks like a college situation, like a college campus situation.
Do you remember how visual Larry Scott was when we started this company?
He was all over us.
How out in front he was, how forward-thinking he was,
yes.
How well embraced he was.
2011.
Because he was going to take the old-school Pac-12 under the previous regime and turn it into the more modern mainstream Pac-12, and he did some things right.
Vegas for basketball.
I mean, the Pac-12 network's a good idea. It's just poorly executed because people like me who are stubborn have DirecTV and don't want to drop DirecTV because of the Sunday ticket. We don't get, like, I had to go to a friend's house last week to watch the ASU Colorado game because I can't get it. I can't stream it. There's no way to get it. So I had to go to a friend's house. And after a while, like, I just blow it off, Brad. Like, oh, game's on Pac-12 Network. I'll just see the highlights. Like, there's not a real commitment from them to get the Pac-12 Network on DirecTV. Why should I go out of my way to watch your games?
So you have to go pay Cox like I do.
Yeah.
Which is another bill for you.
Yep.
I am a bit surprised you can't stream it because I've gone to the point of streaming to almost where I'm going to just drop Cox because I could stream it.
Yeah, it's just to the point where, like, I don't know, like, I have DirecTV. 99% of the games that I want to watch I can find on the you know, Fox or the ESPN family or whatever, CBS.
They're not going to put Oregon, Washington on Pac-12 Network.
Nor should they.
No, that's – but
nor, here's, nor can they probably,
but,
right?
But here's where it is, Eric. They should be able to. The SEC network can put some good games on there and drive traffic.
Even the Big Ten network had, like, I mean, Nebraska, Wisconsin wasn't by, you know, those are two marquee teams.
Sure.
Nebraska's horrible, but, I mean, that is at least two marquee teams, and the Big Ten network has good games every week.
Okay, so on this officials deal, am I overreacting here saying this really does strike the president, the thing with Larry Scott? Someone in the business pointed this out to me this morning. He said, you know that Larry Scott is the president of the Pac-12, but he is also the CEO of the Pac-12 network. He has two separate titles. He has two separate checks. He's pretty much protected himself and insulated himself. And when I watch, I tape something, and this will be probably the last time I'll get on the Pac-12 Network after saying this, but I taped something on Arizona State and Arizona a year and a half ago, and it's still running. And all it is the 10 greatest Sun Devils and the 10 greatest Wildcats. It was myself, Don Bakke, Danny White, Tim Healy, Doug Franz, and they just throw a name at us. We're sitting at a hotel in downtown Phoenix. They fly in two guys. We could have done it right here. They put a few pictures over the top of it. I mean, it's nothing special. And it's still running after games that are, and it's, they run these games like, we're going to show you the U of A Utah game from 4 years ago to get you excited for the U of A Utah game. I don't know. In the world of sports, if you know the final result, you're probably not going to watch unless it's really something special. We're going to show you Utah against Washington women's soccer in an encore. That's great. If I had a daughter that was at Utah or Washington, I would watch it. I'm all about Pac-12 presidents saying we want gender equity. I understand that. It's not going to draw flies, but I understand it. It's like I tell the staff here, go do stories. Do not worry about the metric of how many people click on it because you're going to take a risk. And sometimes that risk blows up in a big way of, wow, I never knew this was here. Yeah, it's the art of storytelling. It is. And so I see that network and I sit here and say, we could be doing that. We really could. I could find announcers that seem more engaged in the process. I could have a studio where there's soccer people that are sitting in San Francisco doing Washington State against Oregon State and they're not even there. And they put a headset on a coach and he holds a microphone. That's pretty easy to do. A college station could do that. And that's what they're doing. This story strikes deeper, though. Josh Rosen, something different about him that you may not know. That's next. And then Goody at the Movies. So Josh Rosen, yesterday, every Wednesday, Josh Rosen meets with the media. It used to be Sam Bradford, but now it's Josh Rosen. The Cardinals do this thing where you don't go up to the quarterback on Thursday or Friday. They want to get the quarterback out there on Wednesday so that people hear what they have to say, getting them excited for the upcoming game. It's great. And Josh Rosen doesn't sit there and look at his watch or do anything. And Steve Wilks follows him. It's fine. It's accommodating. It's turned into a lot of, what was it about Josh that you saw that you felt like he'd be able to handle this or that? This week, the tone was, hey, Josh, how do you handle crowd noise? Maybe it's because I've been doing this a while, but it seems like if we have a rookie quarterback that rolls through or a young quarterback that rolls through, we're going to get the same line of questioning, the same line of response. And you just kind of sit there and say, if I got to sit through another week of why David Johnson can't run the football, doesn't mean you don't ask the question. But if you know the answer to it and you're simply asking to go get your soundbite to put on at 5 o'clock, or how great does it feel to get that first win behind you, coach? I just want to take this and run it through my ear from one side to the other. It's Wednesday. Let's move on to the next game. The fact that the Cardinals are playing at Minnesota is interesting because the Vikings have a great fan base. It's a very loud environment. It's very legitimate to ask. The Cardinals have a running back who is deaf, so that's obviously a storyline too. So if you work those three things in, Derek Coleman, the running back, if you work in Josh Rosen and crowd noise, and you work in what are they going to do with the offensive line, it all adds up to getting ready for the game. Me, on the other hand, I tend to look at the person and say, what is it about this person that makes them tick? I don't really care about Josh Rosen being erratic here in year one because he's shown me he can do both. And by the way, the 75-yard touchdown pass on the very first play wasn't erratic. So for people that say he was erratic all day Sunday, no, he wasn't. Okay? He wasn't. Josh Rosen went to St. John Bosco High School in Southern California. His arch rival is Mater Dei. Mater Dei and St. John Bosco play tomorrow night. St. John Bosco's ranked number one, Mater Dei number two, or it's vice versa, depending on which poll that you believe in. Yes, we do high school at this company. Every company does high school that does media here in the Valley. The Republic does high school. The Tribune's trying to do high school. You know, high school stuff is part of who we are here. We take it very serious. We don't just do it as an afterthought or do it to come up to some sponsor to say, look at us, we're really involved in the community, but we really don't give a rat's ass about high school. We really do. We really do care. We really do work at it. So when it's Josh Rosen and it's contextually his high school career, how did that help him out? It's funny how you ask him about something other than the obvious nonsense after 15 minutes, and he just lights up and goes on and on and on about Bosco and what it was like for him at Bosco. Of course, me being me, I asked him, did you help pay for the $7.2 million renovation of the stadium in August? He's like, come on, I was a broke college kid. It was a very funny response. I like that about him. So tomorrow night will be a national rivalry game. I'm sure if the Cardinals were on a bye, Josh Rosen would be at that game. I went over to Christian Kirk's locker. And Christian's first thing is, why have I not seen Eric Sorensen in a while? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I doubt he said that.
I'm just kidding. He did say, how are you doing? Why have I not seen you that much? I said, because I'm running a company. I said, but Eric's been out here. He says, oh, I know. I see Eric. We're good. So he was giving me a hard time. Christian wants to go out to some high school games. Christian, I think, is going to end up somewhere down the road when it doesn't interfere with his schedule, putting on a headset and doing color commentary on a high school game on our site. I think he's going to start going down that path. It might be next year, it might be 5 years, it might be 10 years from now, but he wants to get involved, as we've talked to him through the years sitting here on the couch in the studio, about being in the broadcast world. He's focused on what's going on with the Vikings and getting better as an NFL player. But he did want to talk about, hey, what do you think of the quarterback over at Desert Mountain? Because I hear he's really legit. And then Josh Rosen, he's like, how many good quarterbacks are there this year, like college-ready quarterbacks? So I start walking them through with Josh Rosen. This was in the locker room after they have this little availability. These guys are more interested. They know they have a job to do. I have a job to do. We want to give to you what they think about the upcoming opponent.
Yeah, the answer is a lot. A lot of high school quarterbacks that are college ready here in the state of Arizona.
Yes, yes.
More than 10.
Or they could even play beyond college. There's a few of those. A few of them. Yeah. We're not going to go that far, but
Maybe two.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, because kids grow late. You know, we don't know. But what I found through the years is them talking about the upcoming opponent, which is interesting, and when you press them on things, because you can't just sit there and say and play footsie about stuff. My thing is, why is it you have a case of the drops at the receiving spot, and how is that impacting this offense? Because if we're being true with each other, if they didn't have a case of the drops 2 weeks ago, they win the game and they have two victories. If they didn't have a case of the drops and some poor decisions against Chicago, I think they win the game. So you look at their overall record, it would be a lot different than 1-4. They're from about 5 to 6 plays away from actually being 3-2. So everybody wants to just throw this, they're an awful team and they're no good and nobody's paying attention to them. That's not true. That's just not true. They have had poor play out of their wide receivers. They have had poor play calling, in my opinion, and use of David Johnson, in my opinion. David Johnson is not going to stand there at his microphone, in front of his locker, into a microphone, and say, they are not using me correctly. You would hope that he would say that, because it's true. You just see it. And anybody who's going to deny it, my point is, when you walk into these things on Wednesdays, Thursdays, before games, after games, you're really not getting anything anymore. You're just not. You're just there to in case you get something. And you really have to find those players that are willing to say, hey, can you turn the mic off for a second and just let me tell you what's going on here? And they tell you what's going on, and you have to make the determination if you can actually say what's going on this show or on the TV show. Otherwise, you're burning people. And I'm not into that. None of our staff here is into that.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
You may.
I just want to run some news by you. I don't know if you saw. Did you see who the Arizona Hotshots hired as their offensive coordinator today?
I did not.
Hugh Freeze.
How did that happen? Oh, I know how that happened. Phil's from the South. Phil Savage.
Hugh Freeze. So your head coach is Rick Neuheisel, and your offensive coordinator is Hugh Freeze. Not bad.
So you're going to have 60-point games.
I hope so.
So they shouldn't even hire a defensive coordinator.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I
don't know anything about the league. I don't know what all the tweaked rules are going to be. But, I mean, that's pretty – I mean, Hugh Freeze, pretty, he's not a has-been coach. I mean, he was pretty recognizable and won a lot of games at Ole Miss not that long ago before he got himself in a little trouble.
Yeah, but, he was recognizable for getting in some trouble.
Yeah,
but
you know, this is a
that's a secondary story.
This is his rehab coaching assignment.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's Rick Neuheisel's rehab coaching assignment.
And in a way, it's a lot of these players.
Mike Bercovici's rehab quarterback assignment.
Devin Lucien,
Will Sutton. We could go on and on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Carl Bradford.
Just wanted to run that by you.
That's a good hire. It's an interesting hire.
Well, it's a great name. It's like
I heard Mark Carrier's going to be involved in some
another
way, shape,
great
or form.
Name.
Yeah, I've heard that, but it hadn't happened yet. All right, Good Eat the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is time to get you ready for the weekend. It is Goody at the Movies or Other Stuff. Or Other Stuff, .. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Today it's good to get the dentist, and the only score that I'm interested in this weekend is whether my kids have any cavities or not. I'm looking for a shutout here.
Bill Goody-Coons, chief film critic for Gannett AZ Central. A lot going on. You're at the dentist. How many kids are there with you? Sounds like you have the whole crew, or...?
Nah, 50%. Only two today.
Yeah, and so far...
You know, one in college and one on college visit. She's on the Northeast. So
oh, wow.
I'm guessing that's nice this time of year. She texted me and said she had a real Philly cheesesteak today. So.
Wow, that's nice. I saw First Man the other night. You weren't there, so I'm assuming that you have been busy on the political front. I heard that you talked with Chuck Todd. And so I'm going to give you my First Man, but I want your Chuck Todd first. Is that fair?
It is, but I am curious about First Man because I think the reviews have generally been, but some people have quibbles here.
Well, let's start because your phone's cutting out here a little bit. But let's start first with Chuck Todd and Meet the Press. You talked with him this morning. What did you talk with Chuck Todd about in the political process?
Well, we talked about a lot of stuff. Journalism and sort of the political process. But we also talked a lot about Arizona and the race between Martha McSally and Kyrsten Sinema. And he really thinks that's going to be like a bellwether race because he said that Sinema is doing the old-fashioned thing. She's sort of running to the middle and trying to, sort of be a centrist person, while McSally has really sort of gone to the right and gone more, she's campaigned a lot more like Trump does, even though she didn't used to do that. And so he said that, a lot of people are looking at this to try to figure out if this is going to work.
And it sounds like
it's pretty interesting.
McSally is up big on this one from what I've seen and heard.
I've seen both. I've seen close. I've seen Sinema ahead, and I've seen now the latest one, McSally ahead. So.
And Trump is coming here next week?
It's not confirmed. I mean, he's coming and then he's not, and he's coming and he's not.
I have a source who says he's. I have a source who said he's coming, and this source would know, but that's just me.
Ooh.
Yeah. In the next 2 weeks. So I'll just leave it at that.
I can see you like hanging up the phone and then like calling Trump and saying, "No, you're sure you're coming?"
Yeah, no. That's not. He wouldn't know. He wouldn't know.
He would be a good source.
He would be a good source. What else would you and Chuck Todd talk? You don't talk sports with Chuck Todd when you get him, do you? Because I like his show
a little bit.
I do like his show, but that show is not the same as it used to be to me.
No, it's not. And I don't think I think they're pretty smart to not try to just replicate. What was going on before. I think that he's kind of doing his own thing. But yeah, we talked some sports because he's a weekly guest on Tony Kornheiser's podcast.
Yep.
Where he bets and he does bet and he's pretty good at it. And because I told him, I said, you seem off to not do it for real. You seem like you put an awful lot of detail into it. He's sort of take it pretty seriously. That's like, well. That's good. I can tell you this. I have never placed a bet on a game in my life ever. Not a dime. Not because I don't want to. I just don't know how.
Well, come on, Bill. I mean, like if Eric and I could take you to Vegas, if you just give us 24 hours, we can ruin you in a hurry. It would be fun. But my point is, he's not Tim Russert, And nobody was Tim Russert. And Tim Russert was somebody that I liked because he would follow up and not let you off the hook and not just kind of sit there and play with you and then go out on your yacht together and yuck it up. Tim Russert would get after it, which is what I liked.
Well, and the thing that Russert did, well, two things about that. One is that the thing that everybody liked that Russert did, I think, was that he'd hold their feet to the fire and he'd say, here is a quote from you 3 years ago or last year or a month ago or whatever. That said, I think that Russert spent a fair amount of time on people's yachts too. I think that it's a good old boy network like no other. And I think it's sort of hard to get away from that. I don't know that anybody since like Hunter S. Thompson or somebody has been truly independent.
Really? You feel that?
But this is, I don't think that it's not that they're independent, but they're cozy.
And cozy is lunch, or I don't know. I just never felt that Russert was a yacht guy on a Sunday after taping a show in the morning.
No, probably not. But well, a good thing about him, and no matter what he was that both sides respected him and talked to him.
Yes.
And now things have gotten so divided, and Chuck Todd works for MSNBC that they're, you know, you can't really, there's no middle anymore. I mean, there's CNN that kind of founders around in the middle, but that's about it. This made me think of something. This is associative mind at work, this gambling thing.
Sure.
And the first Super Bowl, or there was a second Super Bowl they sent me to, but the first one that it was here, it was the first one in Arizona in 1996. And I was sitting there, and the guy behind me said, at the end of the game, it was the Cowboys and the Steelers, he said, "Well, but just lost $250,000. And I was like, "What?" And he said, "I'm a gambler. I'm a professional gambler. And they're not going to cover." And I was like, "What?" I said, "Well, aren't you upset?" And he said, "Yeah, I'd rather win than lose." But he said, "That's the way it goes. That's my job." He said, "It happens all the time." I was like, "Are you kidding?"
Put on your calendar, first week of March, second week of March, come with Eric and I to the Pac-12 tournament. Just put your toe in the water and you'll be hooked. You know, your wife will have to put you into rehab. You'll just be, you know, you sit there and you throw stuff and you look around. And actually, Eric puts down more bets than I do when we're in Vegas. But or go like March Madness.
I've just never done this.
Go on a March Madness weekend, and if Wolford is playing, you know, throw some money on him. It just brings a whole different rush to you. So that's all I'm saying.
I bet you pay more attention.
No, there's no question. All right, let me get into First Man. So I saw First Man the other night. And this is the Neil Armstrong, based off the 2005 biography, the Apollo moon landing. I do know people that believe that that never happened, that it was shot in a film studio. I do know those people. One in particular. Yeah. And this was not Apollo 13 or the right stuff. This was really, it was the best movie that I've seen this year, to me.
Oh.
It really was. The score was terrific. The storytelling was terrific. Ryan Gosling was great. You know, it was a Damien Chazelle deal. So the script is just really well done, I think. There were some moments that were poignant. I had my 13-year-old with me, and now he was glued. He was moving forward. He was wiping his eyes during the movie. And it wasn't because he had like too much popcorn stains from Harkins on his, but he was really into it. And so we conversed about it, and the movie was quiet at points. There was no audio in this movie. Like, you and I have sat in screenings where like, oh, there's a technical problem because there's no audio. When they land on the moon, there's no audio. There's no tremendous musical score when they open the door to get out and on the moon. And they use, I believe it is the actual Neil Armstrong One Small Step audio. It's not done like anything else. And so, Bill, you have to go see this. I'm telling you, and you're the movie guy. You've done Chuck Todd. Go take yourself to a movie. You don't go to enough movies. You need to go see this.
I think you're right.
It was good.
I really like Gosling a lot, and I'm curious to see what he's like in this. I've talked to Gosling a few times, and he's a little funnier than you'd think. Mm-hmm. He's reserved, like you would think. But he told me once, I said, "Hey, my daughters are really excited I'm talking to you." And he said, "Oh, do you think that they think that you're talking to Ryan Reynolds?" I said, no, they know it's you. They know it's Ryan Gosling because you were in The Notebook and stuff. And he's like, no, I think it's probably, they think it's Ryan Reynolds. And at the end, I said, well, thank you for your time. And he said, and to make sure, thank your daughters for seeing Deadpool.
but here's the thing. Just I'm not going to give this away, but this is, and Gosling had this quote to GQ that I saw. It's, I was interested in the duality of the life of Neil Armstrong. Okay. It's a great quote. Because it was his daughter, I'm not going to give it all away, but his daughter passed away of a very rare disease very early. And you would think, how does this person overcome it? And it's more about what he's dealt with in his life versus walking on the moon. Walking on the moon's kind of a second deal on this. So,
well, that's the thing. That's what's kind of cool about him is that, like, he remained, you know, by his own choice, kind of a mystery to people. I mean, he maybe the single greatest technological achievement in human history, and he wasn't like a spotlight guy or anything. You know, he was always kind of happy to just be in the background, I think.
No, they played Buzz Aldrin exactly like Buzz Aldrin, who was a spotlight guy. It was, anyways, yeah. I'm giving away all the movie to the movie guy, but if you find time, go see it.
I do know what happens in the end, I think.
Yeah, so this is Titanic. The boat doesn't sink. Yeah. The thing lands on the moon. I just gave it away. So, see you later. I'll get you out of here. Go back to the dentist. There's goody at the movies. I thought when he said, I'm at the dentist and I haven't seen any movies, that this was going to be a dentist segment, like pulling teeth without Novocaine. That actually was pretty good. Devin Henry comes in here, and I only see Devin for a little bit. But he's doing great work in spite of what everybody says in staff meetings when he's not there. No, I'm just kidding. He is our technical director. He's got this West Side blog that you need to check out that's on the website that does all the stuff around West Side High School football that he has just taken and run with. And eventually he's going to be a NASCAR guy. He's going to start doing some NASCAR stuff. Eric Sorensen, as always, produces. He is the best in the business in spite of what I might say about him on the show or even when we're not on the air. But he does a great job, too. Have yourself a great day.